Welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders episode 358 on our way to 400. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. The Frosty One himself is still on hiatus. Gentlemen, how are you?
Is that like a distant remake of 300? 400?
What do you mean?
You said episode 400. I was just It's not
400 yet.
No,
I know. I don't know where I was going with that. Never mind. Let's move along.
I don't know where you were going with that either, Break. We did make a 300 reference when Dungeon Buster's in chat. He was kind of saying that he couldn't hear me, but I listened to the audience. So now apparently my voice is coming in loud and clear.
We have an audience.
Awesome. I know. We have an audience of one. But we did do a 300 reference when we were at 300. Don't you remember, Break?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. All right.
I said let's move on. I already failed. need to rub it in.
I like dwelling on your failure, Break.
I got that.
Just like dwelling on your failure. All right. I am going to do a lot of bitching today. Isn't that something new? But we'll get to that in our stinkos. So why don't we get started with the news, Eric?
Okay, there's not much here this week, actually. But this one's a visual novel. Now, maybe this is the real reason why he's not here, because he doesn't want to hear about visual novel talk on the show.
Probably not, man. That guy hates visual novels more than anybody I know.
Reading is hard.
Wait, so you're saying...
What, Break?
You're saying he's just avoiding working? That's the real reason he's not been here? Well, that son of a bitch.
If you consider this work.
That makes sense after we had that like record news week last week. Oh, that son of a bitch.
I know. And watch, this week we hardly have any news and it's going to last longer.
I know. We get into one news story, then Swanee's going to show up. Oh, hey guys, how you doing?
All right, Eric, come on. Let's get through.
Anyways, so it's a visual novel that begins with a doll chopping off an arm.
Oh.
Fruit Bat Factory is bringing Palmera Studios visual mystery novel visual novel mystery. Now I can't read right.
Break is Matt's, rubbing off on you, man.
The break effect. We can call it the break effect.
God damn it.
Anyways, maybe we can make it like addition in a D&D game.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, continue.
Anyways, magical eyes, red is for anguish, is west to the west on Steam, is headed to the west on Steam this winter. Damn you, Silicon Era.
Yeah, I know. They suck, man.
I wish Gamatsu would report on more visual novels, but it's mostly just Japanese stuff.
Yeah, that's all right. We take what we can get, Eric. Continue on.
This concerns a series of bizarre incidents that all take place within the same town. The first one involves general store's owner's arm being chopped off. He says it was a doll that did it, but nobody really believes him. In any case, the doll and the detached arm have disappeared from the crime scene.
Hmm.
And there's a teaser, and there's a description of the teaser. It says, like a light too strong may burn out one's retinas, so too can supernatural entities be toxic to humans, even should they take on the invisible form of one's emotions.
What? What? That made absolutely no sense. Okay, continue on.
I was with you with the whole puppet master thing until that last part. What?
So I'm guessing emotions are toxic. That's what they're implying.
I guess. But I agree with that, man. Those puppet master movies were badass.
Anyways,
yeah, I agree.
Says apparently these incidents are intermingled with the complications of human intentions. And says there's no details of the game other than the excerpt that they have, and that it has a reasoning system which unlocks short stories and other bonuses depending on the number of correct answers you give.
I like that. That's a good addition to a visual novel. I've thought about that. Like, having a branching system that gives you a little more of the story if you're willing to explore it, you know? Kind of
you mean as opposed to just making choices that affect the outcome of this game?
Yeah, I like this branch. Like, that's a true branching thing to me. You know what I mean? It's not like no matter what you choose, it's eventually going to lead to the same path. Like, the story.
I think what yeah. this is saying, though, is like there's visual novels that have branching paths and multiple endings, but I think what this is doing is it gives you additional stories in addition to that multiple ending stuff.
Yeah. No, I like this. This is good. That gives you more.
It maybe gives you like insight to the endings you unlock or something.
Yeah, it fleshes out the story a little bit more, gives you a little more background. I like that. That's a good addition to a visual novel. Gripper's in chat. What's up, Grip? All right, break. Next story, please.
You know what I'd like in a visual novel?
What's that? Hot chicks?
Boobs.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it.
You know what I like, Frank?
Boobs.
Do you like dick girls?
That.
Dick girls.
Dick girls.
I was gonna say I like that little puppet, you know, the one with the skull, and he had the knives for hands. I thought that guy was cool.
Yeah, he wore that little kind of fedora looking type hat.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
Yeah, he's cool. I think his name is Blade. It's really cool. All right.
I didn't know they had names.
If he has a fedora and he's a skull and he kills things, he's probably an atheist, right?
Probably
an atheist male.
Yeah.
I was just kidding about them not knowing they had names. I did know that. I was just kidding. Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Over the Hills is a visual novel set in the War of 1812. Really? Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah.
History lesson, people. Who did America fight in the War of 1812? Anybody?
French.
Oh, God damn it. What about you, Frank?
French? I don't know.
Oh, my fucking God.
Why would you say the same thing?
You're asking me questions.
Yeah, he was already wrong. Why did you agree with him?
I don't know. I'm looking up the goddamn Puppet Master characters, man. Mm. Come on.
He's distracted.
I am.
We fought the British in the War of 1812.
Oh,
again.
Okay, the British.
Again.
1812. Yes. Look.
Anyways.
It's been a long time since I've done history.
It's been a long time since 1812. That's
look,
true.
Here we go.
War Girl Games, what a name, has released its first emotional visual novel, Over the Hills and Far Away, on Steam. It follows William Aubrey, a wounded redcoat soldier. Haha. After he goes rogue during the northwest frontier of the War of 1812. He seeks shelter during a thunderstorm inside a barn, but inside he finds a young, shiny girl named Mai. Bleeding out and not wanting – yeah, M-A-I, so it's Mai, right?
Yeah.
Bleeding out and not wanting to brave the fierce winds outside, Aubrey decides to put up with her until the rain lets up. But will their accord outlast the storm when both return to their bloodshed and outside world? Reads the game's description. You can find out more on their website.
Yeah. Hey, what's your favorite puppet? Was it Blade Break?
Yeah. I like the knife guy.
I never watched Puppet Master.
I'm looking through the list here. Oh, Puppet Master movies are cheesy, but they're really good.
That's very cheesy.
This doesn't make any sense. I'm looking at the ads below here, and it says Tears to Tiara 2, Heir of the Overlord, which is the European version, is somehow more expensive than the day one edition that was released in the US.
What?
And I'm sure it's the exact same thing.
All right.
I didn't know having a logo change affected the price that much.
Jesus Christ, man.
PS3 games are region free.
Yeah. And by the way, I'd like to point out Dungeon Buster did say the British in chat. He knew.
He
points out they burned down the White House. Yes, they did.
Oh,
assholes.
Yeah, the motherfuckers. Yeah. Gripper. I blame Gripper. Gripper's in chat. I blame
Gripper.
I didn't know British soldiers were still called redcoats after the Revolutionary War.
And Gripper was the only one exempt from that category, from that question.
Oh, okay. We're giving Gripper.
Like I said,
the losing side wasn't allowed.
I haven't done history since high school, since I never had to take it for college. And that's another thing that bothers me about college. You take classes that have nothing to do with what your degree is.
Mm, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Eat money out of you.
You remember?
There was no real winner of the War of 1812, by the way. It was more of a draw than anything else.
No, this is not true. The United States wins every war, man. Don't you read the
history? Well, we consider a win, but in reality, the American government was plotting on taking over Canada.
And we also won Vietnam, too. So,
well, we won in the letting us kill as much as our own soldiers as possible.
Yeah. And we also won the war in Iraq, too. Death's Little
Wait, Moon? I thought that war was... Oh, wait, that's right.
Yeah, we won.
The president said that war was over.
Because we killed Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we won.
You know, my favorite...
mission accomplished.
My favorite puppets were... Do you remember Tank? The Tank puppet break?
I remember that. Was he the one that, like, pounded the ground?
It was the worst. He was in this. It just looked like he was a tank, man. It was bad.
I don't remember that one.
Oh God, Six Shooter was the best, man.
Oh yeah, he was cool.
Six Shooter.
I did like that one.
Yeah, I like Six Shooter. I like Pinhead. I like the Leech Woman. Do you remember the Leech Woman?
Yeah. I didn't remember her too.
Yeah.
I can't remember that one though.
You know what was really bad at design flaw of the Redcoats' uniform color? It was red, so if you bled, it might have been hard to see.
Yeah. It would be hard to see blood against any color. Gripper says, "We beat you good, sucker. Shut up and drink your tea." I'll drink my tea, Gripper, as long as you are grammatically correct, okay? Drink your tea, son of a.
Yeah, the War of 1812 was a big loss for everybody, pretty much. Nobody won, even though everybody wants to say they won.
This is actually a problem that I have with the United States, Break. Like, whenever we talk about a war, we talk about how we won a war. Is there ever, like, other than World War II and World War I, were there ever any clear-cut winners, like, in any war? Like, it just doesn't
The happen. First Iraq War.
Didn't we only jump in at the end of World War II?
Yeah.
And World War
One. Yeah, and World War One.
But we were the turning tide by joining the fight, actually.
Yeah.
But the reason we didn't join up until late is because we acted like the rest of the world didn't matter.
Right. And we still act like
that. It was more most of the – like half the American people like join and, you know, the other half are like not join. It's pretty much what's going on now still. Yeah.
Dungeon Buster says one of the puppets had a drill on his head. That was Tunneler, the Tunneler puppet. That puppet was cool too. I like all the different puppets. They had a one called like Dr. Death, I think. That one was really cool. I think it was only in like one or two of the puppets.
How many? There were like what, five?
Oh, there were more than that. I think they're like
five. They kept making them, huh?
Yeah, they're good, man. Like they're cheesy as all hell, but. You know, still kind of cool. And I like how they – at first the puppets were like really evil and then later on they kind of been
It depended
good.
On who was the master.
Yep.
Each movie depended on who was the master, on whether the puppets were good or evil. Because in the first one they were actually good.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says –
But they were like bad and then good – or sort of bad but sort of good too.
Dungeon Buster
Wait, says, no. They started bad and then they ended good. That's what it was.
Sort of like that. And then they went bad again. And then Dungeon Buster says, World War One, yes, referring to when we jumped in the war, but sort of a quarter of the way through World War Two in 1942.
Yeah, because the war didn't end until 1941,
because there is a 1941 video game.
I like those video games. Those video games are badass.
I think 1942 Kai is much better than 1941 or 1942.
Those ones are pretty cool. They're kind of shoot 'em ups, right? Like you,
yeah.
No, they don't call those side scrollers.
Oh called? Man, I love Dungeon Buster, history buff. I love this guy.
Well, the appropriate term for those type of shooters would be called STGs because they're stand top games.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says Roosevelt declared war on Japan, then Hitler declared war on us a few days later, which was dumb. Actually, that's not a dumb move, Dungeon Buster. Like the Germans had us on the ropes, man. There were a couple key battles. I can't remember off the top of my head, but if Hitler would have made the right move in either of those battles, like we would have been destroyed, man.
Well, there was a point in the war where Hitler could have invaded England, but for some reason he kind of hesitated and he waited like a week or something or 10 days.
Yeah, because he was afraid. Like the English had repelled the Germans like from invading on one of the one of their bays, and because of that little battle, which really wasn't a battle because the Germans didn't send very many troops. But if they would have sent all their troops, they could have took England. If they would have taken England, they could have had a launching pad to almost anything. Like that was the key to the battle. Let's see. Dungeon Buster's talking about the 19, 40 series those of games. Those games are so badass, man. I loved like the special move in that where you like kind of did it like a like an air loop and like that destroyed everything on the screen. You guys remember that?
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I want to apologize to Gripper for everybody in America who still brings up World War II.
I know.
Like, we saved your asses in World War II. Stop bringing that up.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. How about
– I'm sorry, Gripper. I apologize for those people.
It you know, World War II, it just – the way I look at it, I don't look at it as countries. I just look at it as good conquered evil. Like the more modern wars, the line is kind of blurred.
He tundish bust. So 1943, the Battle of Midway. Let's just pretend that's an alternate history because you fight ridiculously sized plays in that game anyway.
I think the last clear-cut war was the first Iraq war because Iraq – they invaded Kuwait. They invaded another country. So we were coming in there as a rescuing, you know, the UN and America, Britain, yeah, all these other companies. We are coming in to rescue a country.
Yeah, that was
– that was the last like justified war, I think.
I don't know, man. Justified or not? Like,
well, right. I justified's a bad choice of words. Yeah. I don't think any war's justified.
Dungeon Buster says Hitler didn't have to declare war and could have bought time because he did, there was nothing to keep us from doing the same. Yeah. See, I guess it was a tactical disadvantage. Like he could have just not declared war in the U.S. and just beat the shit out of him like the Japanese did.
Yeah, I wonder, was that ego that he did that?
Oh, he had a huge
Or was he trying to, like, trying to motivate his people?
You
I always wondered about that.
There was a ton of ego in World War II. Roosevelt had
There was a ton of ego, but what I'm saying is, like, he was as influential as he was, he had a lot of detractors. Yeah. And within the Nazi party, there were people that definitely wanted him gone.
Oh, no question.
And I'm wondering if, like, him declaring war on America was him trying to, like, motivate his people, like, motivate more people behind him.
Yeah, rally the troops.
Yeah, not just an ego thing, but, like, a calculated move.
I'm sure. But there is something to that. But, like, there's a lot to some tactical decisions that Hitler made that led to the whole demise. Like, when I think of history and World War II, I always think of, like, a separation of the German army and the SS. Like, the German army was just taking orders. The SS were – they were just bad, man. Bad, bad, bad people. Like, they just hated Jews. Like, I never understood it, man.
It wasn't just Jews. It was anybody who wasn't blonde and blue-eyed.
Yeah, but that just happened to mean that most of the Jewish race was annihilated in that.
Well, right, but I mean that was homosexuals, blacks, anybody who wasn't, you know, white and blue-eyed and blonde.
They're basically
blonde-haired.
KKK.
Right.
Yeah. You could be a non-naturalized Nazi, yeah, which is how Hitler got in there.
Yeah,
I think I don't remember what the exact term was, but that's how he was able to be like rise up the ranks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of those people, but basically the Nazi rule was blonde, blue eyed. Anybody who was different, either you're with us or you're dead.
Yeah, he says he thought the Japanese could have kept us tied up in the Pacific, but he was wrong. Attacking the U.S. was always in his future view. Oh, no question. I mean, the United States was the last bastion of the earth. Like,
oh, right. Right. Like, but I mean, him saying it before, like him declaring it before we did, basically.
Yeah.
Is what I mean. Is what I was saying.
Yeah. 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 I think we already went over this Over the Hills story, right? Break. I think that's the story.
That was the entire story. I forgot we were still in the news.
Right. Next story. I like talking history every once in a while. It's kind of fun to look back and talk about that shit. My grandfather was in World War II, so I know a little bit about it. JRPG-inspired detective game Pixel Noir gets a demo. This comes to us from everybody's favorite, Silicon Era. Pixel Noir is a turn-based RPG that has you playing as a private eye in a dark and corrupt city. Ooh, I like the premise already.
We already talked about this, but now it has a demo.
Yeah, the creators ask you to imagine Earthbound meets Sin City, and it looks cool. Looks good. I like stuff like this.
I don't know about that. I mean, maybe in the sense that it's contemporary, but
yeah. You know what, though, Eric, like when we talk RPGs, it's either some type of fantasy setting usually or, you know, I don't know, just It's just a novel idea, I guess. You know, and
I'm still on Earthbound meets Sin City. Oh, why? You said Sin City. I thought you said Sim City. My bad.
I
went back and read the article here for
Sin
a
City.
I thought you said Sim City, and I'm like, I'm just sitting here stunned for a minute. Like, what the hell is that?
Oh, look, Dungeon Buster brings up an oldie but goodie, Operation Darkness.
No.
No, it's a shitty game, but the premise was kind of cool. That was the Xbox game, if I'm not mistaken. Operation Darkness has a supernatural hit.
I wonder what possessed Atlas to publish that game.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, that game was a piece of shit, man. But
remember the game that had you using kung fu moves against Bin Laden?
No, I don't, man.
Oh, I can't remember the name of that game, but I played it because it came out when I was working in the industry.
Was it called, like, Enemy Infiltration or something? I don't know.
No, it had, like, a I know it had a rap song. Like, it was so bad, it was good type rap song. God damn it, what was that game?
Oh, that's funny, man. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is... from Silicon Era, Schoolgirl Closet, or no, Black Closet brings a little bit of Schoolgirl Noir to Steam. Long Live the Queen developer Hanako Games has released its Schoolgirl Noir RPG Black Closet on Steam for Windows, Mac, and Linux. It's also available directly for Hanako Games. I might check this out later and try to get in contact with them once my schedule clears, because I've once again overloaded.
You're always overloaded, man.
Anyways, you play as the president of the school council of an exclusive all-girls boarding school. Your job is to uphold the school's reputation by preventing crimes or uncovering them if they or covering them up if they happen.
I got a legit question. This goes to the Gamergate things. I'm looking at the screenshots. This is what people are upset about. I'm gonna put this in the chat for Gripper and Dungeon to look at. Like, this is the type of shit that I think the Gamergate people, the ones on the good side, are upset about. Like, why do they have to include this screenshot in with this game? Like, why can't you just go based on the game itself, like the merit of the game, and not sex? I know sex sells, but damn, it's dumb.
Underage girls in inappropriate situations.
Yeah, the one thing that the people on the GG side don't understand is that these people have a legitimate criticism about not having enough positive exposure in the medium, and they're right to do so. And they seem to be wanting to toe the status quo line of just having what they want, not realizing they could still have what they want. There's room for both types of experiences out there.
Can I have an adult version of this?
Yes.
Don't understand that politics are everywhere. And
look, here's what
you're going
say.
To whine about games having politics in them, then there's a lot of games out there that you're not going to want to play, because guess what? Every game has politics in it.
Right. And you know what's funny is like
they all have something to say.
Mario's been pro-drug for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, unless it's something as simple as Mario. That's like an exception.
Right. Look.
No, he's been pro-shrooms for a very long time.
Look, Brake, I'm with you, dude. Like, I am a big advocate of, like, adult gaming, right?
Yes.
I'm not talking about, like, every minute you hear the F-bomb and every second you see tits. You know, I don't mind. I'm with every other guy, right? I don't mind seeing sexy women in video games. It just like when I see stories on upcoming games, whether they're Japanese RPGs or RPGs or even Call of Duty, they always got to do something a little sexy in there. Like, you'll see a picture of some, you know, non-essential NPC in the game, you know, and it's just to draw your attention into buying the fucking game. No wonder women and people on the opposite side of the game.
I mean, it's gross, but at the same time, I don't mind it, but I just wish that they hadn't put it in there just for that purpose.
Right.
I mean, I buy hentai for that stuff. I mean, because that's what it is. I mean,
right. But they make no illusions about it, right? It's hentai. You know what you're getting into with that. Like, I'm in full agreement with Brake. Like, I don't mind adult video games because, you know what, I'm pretty sure that the majority of people playing video games nowadays are adults. I'm not.
And you know what?
Sure.
It doesn't.
Don't even let me get started with the whole Metal Gear Solid 5 quiet thing. I mean, the way the apparently Kojima gave a bullshit reason as to why she looks the way she does. And he should have just been honest and said – actually, he was honest and he said that the reason he made her look like that is because he went and make a sexy character. Then why did he go later and try to make up a bullshit reason for it?
See, that's – when people are honest about it also makes a difference, right? If you're video – like, you know, who's that guy? Suda51?
I'm quiet and I've and you could see my thighs. I'm going to shove my ass in front of your face during the chapter sequences and
right.
Metal Gear Solid 5. Okay, no. Why?
Well, I mean, just be honest with it.
It's
like,
Kojima.
Who is it? Isn't it?
Yeah,
it,
but
isn't the guy
even the earlier games weren't that blatant,
right? But isn't the guy like what's his name? Suda51. Like he made a game. I think what the hell was the name of that game? It was like a dark
Killer 51.
No,
or Killer something.
No, no, it was
with Touchdown.
No, no, no.
I haven't even played Metal Gear Solid 5 yet, and I have a feeling I'm not going to like it that much.
It was about a Mexican dude that was like trying to get his girlfriend back from hell. It's like, what is it? Shadow?
Shadows of the Damned.
Shadows of the Damned, right?
That, I gave you my copy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That game's a great game, right? It's a very adult-orientated game. Lots of sexual references. Lots
it's also
of kind
blood. Of fucking stupid, too, but that's why I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's stupid, but he makes no qualms about it, right? I guarantee if you were to interview Suda51, he'd be like, look, I'm doing this shit on purpose, right? And that's the way everybody should be when it comes to those type of things.
And doing something on purpose isn't code for I'm secretly a misogynist and did
right.
this because I want to prove that I hate women.
No, that's absolutely correct.
Because his girlfriend does get killed repeatedly.
Right. Right. And it you know what? That's probably not how he feels, but that's what happens in the game. All right, let's move on to the next story, Eric.
I wanted to say something on that, too,
yeah,
as far as adult games. You can have an adult game without ever saying an F-bomb or any nudity.
Yes, yes.
It can just be an adult topic. Why can't we have that?
Yeah.
But there is nothing wrong with a game
a
game with nudity just for having nudity.
You know, I agree. There's nothing wrong because nudity is nudity and, you know, so what? It's titillating.
And if there's a game that wants to say a fuck in every fucking word – that's fine too.
Grand Theft Auto.
Bulletstorm.
Yeah, Bulletstorm. I mean, that's fine too. I agree. There's an audience for that, is what I'm saying, Blake. Like,
yeah.
There's specific audiences for
right.
it.
No, I was just saying that I don't think it's wrong. Those games exist too. I mean that those games should exist too.
So, yeah, they should exist alongside with everything else. You know what I mean? Dungeon Buster says MGS5 is great if you love sneaking games. I have a hard time with sneaking games, like stealth games. I just have a hard time with them.
Me
know.
Too.
I suck. I make no bones about it. I suck as a gamer. Like,
yeah, I'm definitely bad at like sneaking. I prefer rushing in, guns blazing, blowing everybody away.
Well, technically, you could still do that in 5, but
ooh,
yeah, you could. It was like that other.
But apparently, it's more effective if you are stealthy.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Eric.
Next story. Boy.
It was a giant ad on my screen. It must be on yours, too.
I was trying to not get it loading. I think I've successfully evaded it.
Right.
This is from Gamatsu. Final Fantasy Type O Online announced for PC and smartphones.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, Agito was canceled. So this is the game they're making to replace it.
Why replace it? Why not just work on Agito? Like, fucking, really?
Because they were closing the service.
Mm. All right.
So anyways, it will come out in spring 2016, so no real window. But it's being considered for release in North America and Europe. It's being developed by the China-based Perfect World, who makes a bunch of free free-to-play MMOs.
From what I've seen of this, which is basically this teaser here or this, you know, thing, it looks okay. Like, it doesn't look like anything special. Like, I don't know what to say about it.
Mm. Like, so we only know they canceled the Vita version of Agitope. They didn't say anything about the PC version, but I'm sure that's canceled too. And this is replacing it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, they wanted people to buy it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, break. Next story.
Coming to us live from, I guess, scroll up. I don't see the title. Coming to us live from Gamatsu. I'm sorry. I'm used to Silicon Era. Star Ocean 5 Ultimate Box announced for Japan. And this looks really cool.
Yeah, it does look cool.
Squinix announced an Ultimate Box version of Star Ocean Integrity and Faithlessness for Japan during a Star Ocean 5 stage event in Tokyo Game Show. I don't know if I like that title or hate that title.
I like it. Integrity and Faithlessness. I like that. That makes you think, doesn't it, Bray? Like, no, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going with I like it. Mm-hmm. For 25,000 yen, the package will include – how much is that?
I don't know, Eric. What's the conversion rate? 25,000 yen.
25,000 yen would probably be
That'd be like 100
bucks. I think it's close to $210 maybe.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah.
That's a lot. Let's list this off here. Of course, you get a copy of the game. Really? What shock? Original box and box sleeve, because, yeah, they want to do anything they can charge you more money for. A Mickey special figure, a 210-millimeter tall figure of Mickey, the Hero Fidel's childhood friend.
Okay.
And you know how I feel about fucking statues.
I like them. That's okay.
I know you love them. I think it's another reason to charge you more money.
I think it's good that they put in the original box and box sleeve, because steel books are ugly things. I hate them.
The statues are cool and all, but after a while, don't they just get old?
I'm not a fan of swag.
No, yeah. I have a lot. Look, I'm looking right now at my mantle. I have I'm in this little podcasting room. I have an Iron Man that I got from my wife for – I don't know if it was Christmas.
You know what I think I won't deny that I do have some swag that I haven't gotten rid of, but there have been – working in a game store – I got so much fucking swag. Yeah, I gave a lot of it away.
Well, see, that's
I gave most of it away. It's like, Jesus Christ, I don't need all this shit.
Yeah.
I want this shit.
I have a Halloween original film cell, which you can't find very many places. I have a little slime plush figure. Demon Summoner or Devil Summoner, like Ryu plushie thing? I don't know. Came into one of my things, and there's a few other things. I got a Walking Dead.
You should take some pictures and post them online.
I should. Maybe I will. My wife has a whole corner of the living room dedicated to Mario figures.
Yeah, women are all about collecting shit, aren't they?
Yeah, nothing wrong. All right, what else we got in this?
Then that was a stereotype, and nobody jumped on me on that. Oh, well, anyway, so let's get to the good parts. This box set includes an art of Star Ocean art book, 80 pages of artwork, illustrations, and CG. Special soundtrack, a 5-disc soundtrack with special binding. 5 discs, that's pretty awesome. Special postcards, 8 postcards featuring Star Trek, 5 illustrations, and CG. You're right, because you're going to send those to people. Pangalactic Federation ID card, a plastic license with a unique serial number and proves you're a member of the Pangalactic Federation. And I didn't tell you when the good stuff ended because I figured you guys would figure that out on your own pretty easily. And then original DLC download code, downloadable content to change the background music to that of other games in the series.
Now that's kind of cool,
I guess. That's interesting. I mean, they make the sound, these soundtracks are made specifically for the game, whereas those are made for other games. Yeah. You know,
here's the thing about game soundtracks that in Japan that still bother me. They're still using CDs. I mean, really?
Well,
yeah, you're right. Where there should be like an MP3 version, a download code for American, for us. If they bring it to us, I'd imagine they would do that.
Maybe not.
Because this isn't announced for us. This is just for Japan.
Right.
I think it's funny that we're in this weird position where the only physical version of the soundtrack that you can get is a CD, when the CD has a very small capacity to it. And the Blu-ray holds a lot more. It's like they never bothered with the Blu-ray disc for music because they went straight to digital after that.
Yeah.
So we're left with this ancient technology.
I only have a problem with a couple of things in this special edition.
And it racks up the packaging price.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, likes postcards, right? Like, even to get a postcard in the mail is like the dumbest thing to me. Like, it just, really? A postcard?
They usually are accompanied with pictures. Like, here's what we're doing. Like, right. Thanks. That's right. Thanks. What do you want me to do with it? Are you expecting me to put it on my wall or something?
Yeah, like on your fridge. Like, what are you expecting me to do with that shit? Really? Yeah. A fucking postcard. And then, you know, the only way a postcard, like, if it looked good, if it had good artwork, would be to, like, frame it, right? Like, there's some very tactful, like, I printed out with it some 5x7 pictures, right, that we put up on our wall with an 8x10 kind of inset, and they look really nice. Like, they're, like, classy, kind of dark, you know, like, I don't know. It just adds a certain elegance to the room, right? I could see that doing that with postcards. The problem being, if you have it professionally done and not jury-rigged like I did mine, then it would cost you, like, in the hundreds of dollars. Like, it literally costs a lot to frame shit. Like, I don't know. It's a stupid thing to put in there unless you plan on using the postcards wherever you go on vacation, which, whatever.
Mm.
Whatever. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Break, you might be interested in this. Mega Man Legends coming to PSN on September 29th. Capcom will release Mega Man Legends as a PS1 classic on the North American PlayStation Store next Tuesday. The publisher announced it will cost $9.99. Mega Man Legends will be playable on the PS3 and PS Vita, but due to a, quote, variety of constraints, will not be playable on the PSP. So, you're out of luck if you have a PSP and a PS4, apparently.
I mean, there was a Rockman Dash on the PSP in Japan, but they never brought it to the US or the Europe or anywhere else that was English or whatever.
Ah! God damn it, I hate when they open ad. Like, you know...
Oh, yeah, Star Ocean 5, it also has a new witch, a witch character that has a very interesting outfit. It's checkered, and it's one part of it is flesh tone, so people were wondering whether or not it was body paint, but it's actually just colored that way.
Mm. Why isn't, like, throwing up ads, like, that aren't solicited?
If Frank becomes illegal president, he'll make ads illegal on websites.
Not ads in particular, because I know how the internet
works. Rollover ads, I mean.
Rollover ads. Fuck rollover ads. They should be banned from any and all websites, like, period. Fucking rollover ads, man. And ads that automatically play. Fuck those, too.
A branch of change we can believe in.
Oh, God, 2016. Man. So stupid. All right, Eric, last story of the day.
The last story is The Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky SC Evolution, which the U.S. will never get for a variety of reasons. It will release on Japan on December 10th, apparently according to a Racket listing. Standard edition will cost 5,800 yen, and download edition 4,800 yen. It's only 100,000 yen cheaper. Limited editions for 8,300 yen, and a Kara Annie limited box for 9,800 yen.
Hey, I forgot to ask Break, what do you think of that Mega Man Legends coming out, Break?
He doesn't have a PS3, so...
He doesn't have a PS3. Oh, damn it. I thought Break had a PS3.
Maybe he has a copy of the PlayStation version, though.
Maybe. Maybe he does. Did he go to
the... I have a copy of the PlayStation version. You can actually find that relatively easily. You might not find the complete case version, though. You might just get a slip case, like I did.
Yeah. So, Trails in the Sky. What's the difference between the SC edition?
The SC Evolution version has slightly remastered visuals and full voice acting and redone character portraits.
Ooh.
A couple other things, but...
Those are welcome additions, I would say.
It also has a remixed soundtrack, which is actually good in some spots, not as good as in others.
Yeah. Break, I think you're... Are you there, Break, or did you...
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't even go get a beer at all. I was here the whole entire time.
I was going to ask you, what do you think of Mega Man Legends coming to the PlayStation Store?
Yeah, it's all right. It was a good game. I like it. I won Mega Legends 3, but one, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath at that.
All right.
I'd be dead.
Let's move on. Homie discounts. Any homie discounts, you guys? Nothing this week? No? All right.
I have not had the same access as I've normally had this week.
All right. What about Twitter questions, Break? Anything from Twitter?
Yes, we actually have some a Twitter question and some Twitter comments.
All right.
Freak5Chaos wants to ruin our fun by pointing out Frank can't be run for U.S. president. He was born before the U.S. was created. He needs to be born as a citizen, which is, you know, that's a technicality. God damn it. Thanks for pointing that out.
Frank's like Jesus. He had a rebirth.
No, see, we were talking about World War One and Two. I'm starting World War Three, and I'm going to be the ultimate dictator of the entire Earth. So there you go.
You become the president of Earth, like in Citizen of Earth.
Right. I'm the president of Earth now. So that's what it's going to be. It's not just going to include the United States, guys. England, I'm coming for you.
The United States of everything.
Yeah, that's right. The United States of the Earth. That's what I'm
talking about. He sent me a link to Super Mario Crossover for some reason.
Okay.
I'm not sure why.
I'm sure he'll explain.
Did we talk about it in the last episode or something? Because I'm completely lost on that one, Freak Five.
That's still a thing?
I don't know. He'll have to explain.
It's himself. Still there. I mean, you can definitely still play Super Mario Crossover. Mm-hmm. I don't know what version they're up to at this point. It's been a while since I've played it.
I think it's because we were talking about the Maker, Super Mario Maker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. What else you got?
No, and he has a question for us. If you had to bang a Muppet, which one?
Oh, that's easy, man.
What do you got, Frank?
Miss Piggy, man. Come on.
No, that new Denise one's better looking.
No, I'm going to bang the chick in the band.
That's a good choice too, man. Maybe Kermit, maybe Kermit. Kermit's kind of sexy, so there you go. I hope that
I'm going home.
Dungeon Buster says, "Hail Scroob, hail Scroob, or Frank, son of a bitch." Dungeon Buster, how funny. All right, any other things on Twitter?
Stuff? No, that's it.
All right, what have you been playing, Break?
I haven't played much, but what I have played, I've already played. That's it.
Okay, what have you played, man?
Like, I notice you don't even add in what you've been playing anymore.
I know.
I've been playing the same games I was playing before, still Metro and Final Fantasy, when I have a chance, but
Record Keeper and what else?
Yeah, but my Stinko has prevented me from doing that, actually.
Oh, shit. We'll get to that in just a second. Eric, what have you been playing, sir?
I've been playing... I played a little bit more Disgaea 5 over the weekend.
Oh, cool.
I've gotten to, Chapter 6, and I'm pretty much at the point where I think I can give a review, even though I'm not finished with the game. There's, 15 chapters. Mm. But I've seen all the game mechanics for the most part.
Okay. I have a question in regards to Disgaea and tactical RPGs like that. What is the key to playing those games? How can one? I guess this is a question more for a newbie. I've tried several strategy RPGs, and none of them hold my interest for any length of time. What is the key to playing a RPG like that? What do I have to learn in order to be good and play those games good? Eric.
Not to be a dick.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Do you like complex but simple to understand levels? Leveling systems.
I do. But the problem for me is those strategy RPGs. To me, it takes too much time to decide what you want to do. In other words,
here's the interesting thing about Disgaea. You can choose to execute an action instead of you can have all your characters set up to do a certain number of things, and you can even position characters near other characters so you can do combination attacks. Interesting thing here is you don't have to have all your characters do everything at once. You can have one character get in position, have another character get near them, and another possibly for a four-person combo attack. Yeah. And those other characters who join in the attack technically don't count as having taken an action.
I think that...
And another interesting thing is that when they're done, when you're done getting them in position for that combo attack,
yeah,
you can then hit the O button and they'll move back to the last position. And you can use that to abuse the game.
Hmm.
It's basically encouraged.
That's interesting. I going back to Disgaea 1, I remember the characters being likable. I remember the
story. You could also throw characters too.
I remember the stories being darker than what it would seem via the artwork. I remember...
They're mostly lighthearted. I mean, there is a little bit of dark stuff in them, but
this
new one in particular is a little bit more dark than the others.
This, what I'm saying, Eric, is I remember there being good elements to the game, but for some reason they just don't resonate with me. Like, I can't, like, the extra step of like positioning your characters really bothers me. Like, I don't.
Let me ask you something, Frank.
Yeah.
How much do you like menus?
Frank doesn't like planning in his games.
Hey, no, if you don't like menus, I don't think you can get into a strategy game.
I don't mind them. Like, there's plenty.
Yeah, that's a good
Frank.
Stuff.
You're a weirdo. That's all I have to say, because you can put up with menus in a turn-based RPG like Dragon Quest, but you suck at action games.
I know.
It's like you're more suited for action games, but you suck at them.
I suck at action games, man. But I like action RPGs, and I like turn-based RPGs, and I like. I like the premise of strategy RPGs. I'll watch somebody play a strategy RPG all fucking day long. It just me myself playing through them. I don't want to have to worry about the positions of my characters, you know. And at least in a regular RPG, you got front or black or back, pretty much, right? Like, you don't really have to worry like where you're placing your characters all that much in certain situations. Dungeon Buster says, don't rush through them is the secret to strategy RPGs. And then he calls me the anti-planner.
You don't like planning. You're not a tactician.
I guess that's a fair
assessment. You don't like planning. You don't like sneaking. What do you like,
Frank? I like platformers. I like action games. I like RPGs.
You're with Mario. You
Frank likes games of skill even though he has none.
That's true. Oh, ouch. That is true. Dungeon Buster says positioning can be fun. Think of it as setting up a big trap for the bad guys in every fight.
This guy of 5 goes a long ways to being more accommodating to the player, because a lot of the systems in the earlier Disgaea games were not very intuitive. And in fact, the way leveling was happening in Disgaea 1 is the only way you could ever earn experience is by getting a kill. There's lots of other ways to get experience in Disgaea 5.
Mm.
I'm with Dungeon Buster. That's like my favorite thing, the setting up a trap for the bad guy. When you're getting a strategy game, you set your characters up and you know you're more powerful than the bad guys.
But see, I do that
and you can lure them into a nasty little trap that you set up.
I kind of do that.
Or you can just lure them into a position where you could then do an area effect attack and then not have to engage them at all.
Right.
Like in the original Final Fantasy Tactics, when you can make the calculator to the most powerful character in the game, within like two moves, you killed every enemy in the stage. There's something so rewarding about being that powerful.
See, I do that in a different way, Blake. Like, there's a reason why this podcast is called RP Grinders. Like, I make game – like, regular turn-based RPGs, I make them as hard as I want or as easy as I want based on how much
grinding. And you can do that with the strategy game, because you can grind your characters, which I like to do, make them stronger, learn all the moves. Like, I like to make my hero – know every single move in the game.
Here's another thing that bothers me about games like this. Like, some of these games, like even like Nocturne and some of these other games, you're expected to know the weaknesses of your enemies. Like, it's not always the case that fire beats water and stuff like that, like water-based characters. Like, there's certain things, like, I don't know, man. I just... Look, Dungeon Buster's making me laugh. He says, see, Frank, listen to all of the fun stuff you can do in tactical RPGs. Like, I understand this. Like, I watch people do this, and it's fine. I love watching, like, Let's Plays. Like, you know,
In an RPG, when you get attack spells like sleep or poison, those spells don't matter for shit in those RPGs.
That's because in the early game they might work, but later game bosses and stuff have resistance to them anyway, so they're useless.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Why do you have these spells if you can't use them?
See, that's one big problem I have with RPGs. You're right. Like, certain sleep spells or slow spells don't work on every character. And I understand that, you know, you have to have a balanced game and, like, the bosses have to be a bit tougher.
At least in Entry and Odyssey, some bosses have some form of a resistance. Like, you can tell how effective something is
on
them.
But I remember
– And not just that they don't work, but, I mean – a little farther in the game, they become completely useless.
Yeah, but I remember like
it's just that an entry and the status spells will work later in the game. Well enough that you can still rely on them. Though.
I remember playing.
I didn't mean in what you were talking about.
I remember
I just
playing
in general.
I remember playing Dungeons and Dragons, right? And it didn't matter. Like, you can have like the most resistance to anything, but if you hit the dice roll. Right. Like, in other words, if you hit a 20 and, you know, there's certain other factors were there, you made a hit on the other, you know, enemy or other.
I'm still talking about what I have played and we're still on this.
Yeah, I know. So what, man? It's fun talking. Like, we didn't have a lot of news, so we can talk about this stuff.
Okay.
Like, I just think that I don't know. I just remember, like, that's the way the game should work. Like, any spell that you have should be able to work on any boss, like maybe at a lower, you know, clip. In other words, if you're taking on regular enemies and you have that sleep spell you talked about, Break, you should be able to cast that on a boss and have a chance at...
I can understand some enemies being immune to it, but, like, every boss being immune to sleep
that
and
sucks.
Poison. Like, that's, like, what the hell, man? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can imagine, like, the end boss, like, oh, you can't put me to sleep.
Right. I agree. Like, you should be able to do – like I said, it's a low dice roll. Like, if you get a 5 on a dice roll, you shouldn't be able to hit something. You know what I mean? Like, but if you get a 20, like, in the game, if it does it in the background, I don't know how these games work that they decide you get a hit or not.
In game, so, if you're going to make these bosses immune, you should just not let me be able to use the spell in the first place.
Right. Just say these spells are unusable. All right.
Happens, Frank, is the game's on a server and it goes back to the head office and they have like 20 people they literally pay to just roll dice.
No, I know. It's like an algorithm. I know. But you know what I'm saying, Break. Like, whatever the algorithm is or whatever system that they use to either hit or miss your enemy, like, that's it should just decrease the hit rate on stronger enemies or bosses, you know, but you should still be able to use all your spells effectively. All right, Eric, continue on.
Aside from that, I played a little more of Amnesia Memories, and I'm also at the point where, number one, I've got a lot of other stuff I got to get to, and I've already gotten one of the characters' endings, and the interesting thing about this game, though, is that each route that you basically choose between 5 different worlds, and that will be your the basically route split of the game. And each one's a completely separate story from each other. So, like, even though there's like several set of endings in one route, you can skip dialogue there, but you won't be able to do that in other routes. I figured that I can probably review the game since it's got a good feel for it. And it's a visual novel, so you can't exactly reveal the story. Otherwise, what would be the point of getting people to want to buy it?
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in the next game that you have listed here.
Beach Bounce.
Yes, I'm hoping it's...
I want to know about this game.
I'm playing the manga gamer version, which is the adult version. It's better than Sakura Beach, but it's also kind of weird because, like, I mean, there are supposedly sex scenes because, like, she'll be taking off, like, you'll see still images of her clothes getting taken off, and she'll be saying stuff, but your character basically just is a mute, and it doesn't really feel like they're having sex even though they're supposed to. So it's kind of
when you're done, I've got a gripe about the game I'm playing. Go ahead.
But it's definitely better than Soccer Beach, though, just because there's a more variety of characters and the choices actually matter. And surprisingly, there is no documentation on the game, but the game has a lot of typos. Mm. Holy shit.
What else have you been playing, man?
Those could be fun.
Like I put on Twitter the other day, Doctor, like every instance, it's a type and paste fail, so every instance of Doctor ends up being spelled D-O-K-T-E-R.
You think that's on purpose, man?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Soccer Beach is, it's a gigantic tease. It's not even sexy. It's like, it's like 2 hours long and nothing interesting happens. And it has a lot of the anime trope. Oh, I walked in a girl when she's changing shit.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. What else, Eric?
Dengeki Bunko Fighting Climax. That's a fighting game featuring a lot of anime from Kadokawa Shoten, I think, because like Sword Art Online characters are in it, and characters from Oremos are in there, and Toradora, which it's just it's a crazy dream match game. But there's also some Sega characters in there, like Selveria from Valkyria Chronicles, and Akira from Virtua Fighter V. Specifically the Virtua Fighter 5 version.
Hey, man, that's in the Urban Dictionary, Dungeon Buster, Doctor, D-O-K-T-E-R.
It is?
No, I'm just making a joke.
Oh, anyways,
Doctor, give me the news!
There's also levels that completely don't make sense, since none of the characters from that game are actually playable, but whatever. But I ended up in a level fighting on Emerald Hill. From Sonic 2. Or was it Sonic 1? I can't remember. That's Emerald cool. Hill was Sonic 2, so I don't know what it was called. Green Hill Zone? From
Green
Sonic
Hill
1?
Zone, yeah. That's first level. All right.
At least it wasn't Blueberry Hill.
Anyways, I also been playing a little bit of The Legend of Legacy. Only got code for that 2 days ago, so I'm not that far into it.
All right. Hey, Brake, you said you had a gripe.
Yeah, I really... I like this game, so this is a minor gripe. With Metro, every time there is a between level, your character narrates for you. He doesn't say fucking shit, even when people are talking to him throughout the game, when you're actually playing it. It's like there's this weird disconnect.
Which game was that?
Metro Last Light.
I think you're insulting fifth graders, Dungeon Buster. Some kids are actually pretty smart.
Yeah, but... Dude, that'd be something a fifth grader would...
He's quoting something. I'm not sure what he's quoting.
That sounds more like something a third or second grader would do.
Yeah, let's just have my daughter. She's 7. She'll get it. She's smart. You know, she'll get the trend, the spelling and the grammar and all that, right? All right, man.
But you know what I mean? Like,
safer answer.
Yeah. Break. I know exactly what you mean, man. That's retarded. Like,
why is he talks? He narrates, and when you're in the cutscene, or like not in the cutscene, but the loading screen, and then people talk to him and they ask him questions. Nothing. Mm. Oh, it's just weird. Anyway, other than that,
the interesting thing about Beach Bounce, by the way, is it's also available on Linux and Mac.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, basically, it could be played on any of those platforms.
Hmm. All right, Brake, let's get into your stinko, man. I know you've been itching to talk about
this. I've got a couple for you.
All right.
The one stinko is I mentioned I haven't been able to really play Final Fantasy Record Keepers. Mm-hmm. The reason is because my fucking phone died on me. It didn't completely die, though. What happened is like a part of the screen... malfunctioned, and basically it went crazy on me to the point where my phone started calling people and hanging up on them, restarting itself.
Ghost in the machine, man. That's some ghost in the machine shit.
Yeah, like it went fucking crazy on me. I called a friend later on somebody else's phone because that phone was like I said, going crazy on me. He's like, dude, you called me. I did not call you. I'm telling you, my phone had a mind of its own. It was fucking possessed. I had nothing to do. Dude, you called me. I had nothing to do with it. It wasn't me. It was the phone.
It was Poltergeist, man.
Yeah, it was Poltergeist. My other story goes to somebody who thought they were being a good Samaritan, but in reality they were being a fucking busybody who did something horrible. This comes from Heavy.com. A girl saves gopher tortoise by throwing it into pond. If you know anything about – if you know much about reptiles
– what's a gopher tortoise?
What's the main difference between a tortoise and a turtle?
Tortoises are usually large.
It has something to do with the water.
Yes. Tortoises are land animals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turtles can swim. Tortoises can't. So a girl on Snapchat thought she was being saving a gopher tortoise, a threatened species, when she found it on the road and tossed it into the water.
Mm.
Tortoises can't swim. Mm.
She didn't know.
So this busybody, like, if
you don't know, don't do shit.
Yeah, exactly. These self-righteous people,
or just leave it alone.
Self-righteous people don't fucking know. They always think like they're doing good. We're helping people, you know, like the
here's something that makes sense. Taking an insect out of the workplace to throw them outside because they belong outside.
But if you see like a tortoise in the middle of the road, then you know, move it off the road. Don't fucking like, you know, don't
go the extra mile and throw them in the water, even though you know nothing about them.
Yeah, don't go assuming shit, because then this is what happens. You probably murdered this poor tortoise who was fine until human intervention.
Then there's saltwater turtles and freshwater
this
turtles.
This is why I have no sympathy for Steve Irwin, right? People got on my shit years ago when Steve
I'm going
to
fuck
died.
With a gator. Yay.
Right. Like these animals obviously are in distress. They don't want to be fucked with. They don't want to be handled. So leave them the fuck alone. Like
Dungeon Buster says in chat, like before I went to the revealed the you know, difference between a turtle and a tortoise. Can a gopher tortoise swim? Because he was already thinking that. Like, no, it's a tortoise. Tortoises can't swim.
I believe that.
God damn it! If you don't know, don't interfere. Yeah. Don't always assume you're. You're self-righteous and you're helping somebody.
Tortoises have feet and turtles basically have fins.
Or you're helping something, or you know, don't involve yourself when you shouldn't.
You know, how about this? Leave nature the fuck alone. You know, you have domesticated dogs, you have domesticated cats. Why can't you just be happy with that? You know, like there's, you know, you can get you know, you can have like pet snapping turtles, which why anybody would have a fucking turtle as a pet is beyond me. I for one, I can't stand turtles, but I don't advocate the killing of any animal. You know, I have a hard time like killing a spider. I won't kill spiders. I put them in a cup and I throw them outside. You know,
I could have four turtles and teach them ninjutsu, totally in.
Fuck yeah, man. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, man.
Well, those are flat-footed turtles, though. Mm.
All right, Eric, your stinko.
My stinko. I don't really have one, but I mean, I actually remembered one, so I'll put it in later. But the massacre of the Mecca Stampede.
What is that?
Oh yeah, God.
What is that?
Yeah, basically, what happened was, you know how people travel to Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, lots of people died just trying to get to the place that they need to get to.
Oh, boy.
And they were so eager to get there, they didn't care if they were running over people. Yay.
The thing is, this happens every freaking year.
And so, yeah, 700 people died of suffocation because they got crushed.
Ugh. Awful. Just awful. Well, chalk that up to some more religious deaths, you know? I mean, that's what it is.
It happens every year.
People are killing themselves for their religion again, just like Ramadan.
Mm. You know what's almost as bad as that, guys?
Mm.
Have either of you been
rushing the bulls?
Well, that's pretty bad too. Oh boy, man, that's Dungeon Buster said he saw a deer explode on a highway. ew, gross. You know what's worse? That almost worse than that is not getting your pay. Like you, we work, right? I'm working again. I got a job at Halloween City. I'm not afraid to fucking. It's a temporary job, right? I mean, it's up for September, October, and part of November. So it's a very temporary deal. You know,
I got a question for you. I notice a lot of those places, like that, they'll suddenly switch and it'll be like a Christmas store. Is that the same company or is that a different company?
I think that's a different company. I think you're thinking of that Spirit Halloween. I don't know if you
have it, well, no, I mean that when in that same building when Halloween is done, like they clear out and then another store comes in for the Christmas holidays.
I'm pretty sure they're separate companies, Brady.
Okay, I kind of thought it was like that, but I would always wondered if they work together or. Same.
I know Halloween City is part of Party City. I don't know if you have Party Cities out where you're at, Break, but
But I'm not rich, so I don't go there.
You can get like really cheap candy and cheap stuff there. Like it's not
The costumes; they aren't cheap.
No, the costumes definitely aren't cheap. But I'm talking about like little party favors and shit. You know, you can get almost anything there. But I can't believe this is the first time. In all my years of existence, I have been cheated on a paycheck and I didn't feel good about it. Like, you know, there's been a couple other instances at various companies that, you know, they short you hours and shit like that. And inevitably, like, you bring it up to a manager and it's taken care of pretty much immediately. Like, they'll put it in right away and you'll get a check the next day or, you know, sometime that week. It's no big deal, right? Well, I've been cheated. Check this out, guys. Not only have I been cheated hours, like 3 days worth of fucking hours, including one full long ass 9.5 hour of overtime days. They're not paying me overtime. They're going to put it another day on the next check. And they got my pay rate wrong. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, they're cheating me out of a dollar. Let's see, what is it? A dollar, like $1.27 an hour in pay because they coded me wrong in the system is the excuse. I'm like, really? You want somebody to work for you like a dog, like I've been. Like, I've never had as physical a job as I've had doing this Halloween shit, man. Like, from the moment that the truck arrived to getting all that shit out and putting up the store and, you know, putting up costumes, all the merchandise and all that shit. I've never worked as physically hard as I've worked those 8 straight days. Yes, 8 straight fucking days I worked, you know, with no break in between. And now, like, I've had almost a week off. Like, I don't understand the way things work at this company. Like, they're just fucking with me, man. Like, I was telling Whippix, I'm like, I'm gonna continue applying to other jobs for this shit. You know, I'm not gonna be stuck to a temporary job that's treating me like this. You know, it's just
that sounds like being a waiter or a waitress.
Yeah,
the restaurants will pull that shit on people if it's not busy and they don't need anybody. Like they'll just call them, tell them they don't need to come in today.
Yeah,
and they'll do that and they'll string them along for like a week or so.
Yeah, and supposedly,
what's being done to you?
Yeah, no. What I mean, and supposedly the store is going to actually open because it's not open yet. Was supposed to open like last Saturday, and it didn't open last Saturday. So they said, "Well, we're going to open Monday." So Monday comes, no phone call, and I'm like, "All right, fuck it. I'll take the time off. I need a day or two of rest." I mean, what is it now? Friday, and I haven't worked since fucking Saturday or Sunday. So it's just a very temporary job. I know it's a temp job, but that's really no way to treat an employee.
Yeah, that is no way to treat people, and a lot of companies do it. Something that needs to be changed.
And I'm the only one that works straight through like that. Like the manager and I were the only one, but the manager has reason to be there every day. You know, like that's what he does. Like that's you know, I mean, it's kind of understood that dude's going to be there. He's a salary dude, you know, and it's a seasonal thing, but I'm an hourly person and not, you know, I have 2 kids and all this shit. I need the money. So, you know, so needless to say,
I hated being on a salary.
Yeah, it's, being on Salary sucks. I've been on Salary before. It's not fun.
Salarymen.
Yeah.
Salary they're men. Like the commonplace in Japan. That's why they're called salarymen.
Yeah.
Because they're like the everyman.
Basically, they expect you there from open to close as a salary person.
Yeah.
You can have like one day off a week, but yeah, that's about it.
Whippets. If you're lucky. They used to work Whippets like that. When she was like a bigger manager, she was on salary. She'd be there 80, 90 hours a week. I'm like, damn.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then if you break down her pay, she was making like I mean, her, you know, her biweekly check was good, but
if you ever played a visual novel and you go, and you see the character goes to their parents' house and the dad's not there or the mom's not there or both of them aren't there, they're probably working.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the way it is. And I don't mind hard work. Like, I don't – like, this job was challenging and it still is challenging, but
– I'm just saying they're working and they'll probably be gone until, like, 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I could see it, man, but – I was telling Whippix, man, once we're out of this financial little tiff that we got going on, like I want to spend more time with my family, less time with work family. Like, that's – it just sucks. Like, the whole corporate structure, the way things work, it should be work 3 days, off 4 days. Work 3 days, off 4 days. That's the way every place should run, but whatever, you know. All right, let's move on to – Eric, do you have a Sweeto?
I think I might have one, but right, I kind of forgot.
We'll go back with you when you remember. Let us know. Break your Sweeto.
My Sweeto goes to Mrs. Breakman's uncle, who is working hard on our house, and I appreciate it.
Working on your house? What'd they do, man? Like some just around the house shit, or?
No, like, something? Some actual things need to be fixed. Like, he's working on the roof and, the back
nice.
Patio was heavily damaged in one of the storms we had in the last couple of years.
Are you renting or buying break?
I rent.
Okay. So he's just doing stuff that your landlord wouldn't even dream of doing, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. 'Cause landlords suck, man. Although I'm a good landlord, like I'm a pretty chill dude. I'll get shit done, you know.
Anyways,
it's not that
I know what the Sweeto is.
Wait, Eric, break. Finish. Go ahead.
It's not that my landlord doesn't want to help. It's that she's not like physically able to help that kind of stuff.
I got you. Well, then she needs to hire somebody. Damn it, you know.
Fine. Well, I mean, she helps what she helps. Trust me.
All right. I
don't want to discredit her in any way. Like, it just – I understand she can't do, like, physical labor type stuff.
Yeah. I'm just saying, coming from being a landlord myself, break, like, if my tenants say, you know, my pipe is broken or something, I can't physically do it. You know what I mean? Like, I have to get it done. I have to fix, you know, whatever. Right.
Oh, right. And she's always been able to get us plumbers and such like that.
That's good, man. She's doing what a landlord should do. But I'm glad your uncle's helping out, man. That's a big bonus. Get it done sooner. All right, Eric. What was your Sweeto?
My Sweeto would be that Mighty Number 9 finally has a release date.
Oh,
holy shit. Really?
Yeah, and the demo for Backers came out today.
Oh,
anyways, the release date is February 9th.
Sweet.
Well, next year. Okay. I don't believe it now.
Yeah, some people don't believe it, but I think it actually will come out on, like, Star Citizen.
I wonder if Dungeon Buster believes that it's coming out February 9th. Dungeon, do you believe that?
I don't think Black Wolf would say that GT 6 or whatever that was at the time wasn't going to come out.
Gran Turismo,
until,
yeah.
Even when it came out.
No, it's not out. I refuse to believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, here's a copy right here.
All right.
Shut your hole.
Yeah, exactly. You know what my Sweeto of the Week is? Whiffix made some of the best goddamn chicken soup today I've ever eaten. That shit was so good.
And I don't usually think of chicken soup as being, you know, all that terrific.
Oh, it's good.
It's a pretty basic meal. That's why I said that.
Dungeon Buster said he didn't get his demo. It didn't show up for him. That's
you sure? Anyways, the demo is it's weird. You have to go back to the key resender and type in the email you used on your pledge. And that way, you'll get it that way.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully
I had to figure that out. But the thing is, when the Humble Bundle store doesn't make the key resender page easy to find. So just type in key resender on Google and then we'll bring it up.
There you go, Dungeon Buster. That's probably why you haven't gotten. So there you go. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says the Mighty Number 9 Twitter feed suggests that it's being slow rolled. So
yeah, so you might not. You might be later in the queue or something too. Yeah. So that might be it.
Maybe that's it, or maybe it's what you.
Yeah, slow your roll, Dungeon Buster.
All right, let's move on. Sorry. No lulls, no reviews. Free for all. What was your okay? Translation versus localization, Eric. You brought this up. I think it's an important topic. We've talked briefly about this stuff before. First of all, the difference between translation and localization is a huge difference, right? Like, that's a big difference. What's the difference, Eric?
The difference is translation is basically just straight script translation that's done in a manner that is comprehensible to the person who's reading it.
Right. So,
which is something that did not happen in Star Ocean Sword Art Online, Hollow Fragment when it first released on the Vita, and then they had to fix it later. But I kind of wish they didn't, because that probably would have been more entertaining to read, even with as bad as it was, because the actual script is awful.
But Dungeon Buster slowing his roll break.
So. Anyways, localization is usually what happens when companies decide to take liberties in order to make the game more accommodating to their audience. Basically, it's kind of like a focus research group type of approach to translation. We're going to put in things that we think people like.
Yeah, a good example.
This is when you get stuff like Yo-Kai Watch being Anglicized as much as they possibly can get away with. Yeah. Because there's certain things in that show that they won't be able to get away with, like clothing characters are going to wear, and the fact that it takes place in Japan and cars are driving on the left side of the road.
Well, right. And I was going to say,
and not to mention all the Japanese scenery.
Yeah, the Japanese.
But they changed the currency to actual dollar bills. That's what they did. And Doraemon did this as well.
Well, there's other examples of localization.
Or name changes, like the main character's names. Like, from Keita Amano to Nathan, whoever the fuck he is now.
I don't have a problem with most localization. There's only very few times that we've talked about localization.
Well, if you're going to do a localization, though, I want it to be consistent. I mean, and if you can't make it consistent, then just translate it as best as possibly can while retaining most of the show.
No, I agree. I agree. Like, you don't have to please everybody. But there was one game. What was it? Yakuza 4 or 5? I can't remember. That came over. And
Yakuza 3. And that they took out the Hostess Club stuff.
Yeah.
And they shitty excuses to why, even though the real reason was they just didn't want to spend the time and money on it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you do shit like that, just be honest. Don't fuck with our emotions, man. You know, it's like.
Oh, yeah. And I think Yakuza 4 took out the trivia minigame, but that has a lot of Japanese-centric stuff that the U.S. definitely wouldn't have gotten anyways. And I don't think they wanted to bother with adding a bunch of U.S. trivia instead, because that would be weird.
Yeah. So,
unless they made it about pop culture stuff that Japanese might be interested in.
I just, there are certain translations that are awful. That's why I wish Mug was
I wanted to talk about awful translations. Like, as of late, apparently Funimation's on this roll of putting in pulp culture references or even just memes. Basically, in Ninja Slayer, they revealed a dub trailer, I think, for a scene from the show. And apparently, one of the characters does a Rickroll. I am not kidding.
Oh, boy.
They basically just say some of the lines in such a way that it's basically him doing "I'm never going to give you up." a paraphrasing of
but
that anyway.
You know what? Translation.
And in another show called Prison School, some character made a reference about Gamergate that was not flattering. And of course, Gamergaters got angry. I mean, not for the reasons you'd think they would, because, I mean, they did use that excuse to try to justify their upset. But I think that when you do that, though, you date the show considerably, because it'll be a situation like Lunar where they'll add Bill Clinton and Fabio references.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like what Dungeon Buster says. He says, some localization I can understand, but others are just aggravatingly bad for no reason. What's a good example of that, Dungeon Buster? Because
I've got one. Yeah. One piece.
Sanji's eating a lollipop instead of smoking a cigar or a cigarette or whatever.
Break what?
Oh, boy.
You have one, Break?
Wait, yeah, One Piece.
Mm. Oh, don't forget Smoker. Oh boy, what they did this
morning. When it was originally released, it was they released it as kind of like a Saturday morning, Sunday morning cartoon, mm-hmm. more for mm-hmm. kids, and they gave it one of the worst voice acting or voice cast I've ever heard. So fucking bad. Mm.
Aren't most American actors in Japanese animation type shit? Aren't most of those ones bad? Like, I can't think of really good ones, like American.
Like,
there's a lot of good dub actors.
I don't have a lot of complaints about the dub act.
I don't keep track of most of them, though, because I don't really prefer English dubs. But I'll comment on a quality of a dub if I watch it.
Yeah,
I've always liked Johnny Young Bosch's Vash the Stampede.
The only reason I don't really care for Young Bosch is, even though he's good, he's typecast most of the time, and he doesn't seem to have much of a range.
Yeah. He does get typecast a lot. You're definitely right about that. Although I have heard him as a villain a few times lately, which is pretty good.
Like Adotsky in a certain game that I won't mention because that'd be spoilers. I already spoiled enough by mentioning a name. But I just said a name, so you don't know what series it's from. I'm safe. Gay.
Right on. No spoilers, man. All right, I got a fun topic we're going to talk about this week. It's a new segment I just thought of right now. A lot of times people don't really get to know us, right? Like, we're always talking about RPGs, you know, movies that we've seen, reviews. Like, everybody knows that shit about us, right? But they don't.
Also, I don't think – I just want to say something. I don't think Johnny Young Bosch should ever do child care.
All right.
Just again. I think that's just a bad idea.
All right. Here's my point with this whole thing. Like, all these years, like, people get little pieces of us in listening to us, right? Like over the years, we've talked about a lot of shit that we like to do, but I think it's appropriate for us to quickly talk about different things, like about ourselves, you know, and give the audience just a little piece into what Breakman's world's about, or what Eric's world's about, or even beyond video games. So this week I decided, you know, because it's kind of a comfortable topic, I'm sure I'll think of more shit as we go, but get to know your grinders this week. What is your favorite movie and why? And I'll start with Breakman. What's your favorite movie and why?
I don't want to talk about this.
Why?
I don't want to talk about this.
Why?
I hate the question, what's your favorite X? Because I like too many things to.
Well, I agree, but there has
no,
to
no,
be.
No, because I always get criticized for my favorite movie. That's why I'm along.
No, come on. Look, who cares? If you're.
No. If you're, we're moving on.
Look, Break, if your favorite movie is Rocky Horror Picture Show, so be it. You know, who am I to judge?
I'd have to actually think about this.
Well, to think about
it. We get a homework assignment, then we can talk about it next week.
No. What's
your
now.
Favorite movie, Frank?
Oh, this is easy for me, man. My favorite movie is The Crow. I love that movie. Like, not only it have the mystique of Brandon Lee's death, which it's well documented. He died during the filming of this movie, but it's just a fucking kick-ass comic book movie. It was a comic movie. Comic book movie before comic book movies were comic book movies. You know what I mean?
And it has a Ghostbuster.
Yes, it does. Ernie Hudson is in that movie. It is. He is. He's in the movie. It has classic lines. It has the revenge story is awesome, man. Like it's the fucking Crow. Like
it's a really good movie.
Awesome. James O'Barr is an awesome comic book illustrator and writer. He's really cool. Chris has joined the chat. What's up, Chris? I have no idea, but Chris is in chat. What's up, Chris? Welcome. Yeah, so that's my favorite movie. I love it. It's got an interesting story. It you know, it's kind of gripping. I like it, you know. So come on, Brakeman, tell us your favorite movie and why.
All right, when I was a little kid, there was one movie I couldn't wait to go see, and I saw a preview of it, and it actually made me scared. The preview made me think that the main character was going bad, and I was worried. But that's not what happened at all to this movie that I love so much and I still love, and I don't care what anybody says. Return of the Jedi is my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, my God. Brakeman.
See? That's why I didn't want to say that.
Of all
Let's
the
move on. God damn it.
You know he hates Star Wars.
Of all the fucking Star Wars movies, you pick Return of the Jedi. It couldn't even be
the movie everybody hates. Everybody hates Ewoks. God. I don't hate Ewoks.
I don't hate that movie.
I like Ewoks. The Ewoks movies were bad. But
I will say this, all right? Star Wars, what do they call that one? Return of the Jedi, right? Return of the Jedi is better than the original Star Wars, in my opinion. Like, I truly believe that. It's better than 1 and 2. It's not quite.
Oh, it's Chris from Let's Chat.
Oh, what's up, Chris? Hey, yeah.
And then Gene's a guest, and I guess he can. Are we getting ready to leave here?
No, we're almost done. I think we got about maybe 10, 15 minutes. We're talking a little Star Wars, which is kind of refreshing, I guess, in a way. We don't normally talk about that type of stuff unless.
And I think J.J. Abrams sucks as a director, and The Force Awakens might be bad.
Ah, you're bad, dude. Star Trek was great. I liked the Star Trek movie. It was good.
I like the first one. I never saw the second one.
All right. Okay. I don't mind Return of the Jedi, Brake. I think it's better than Star Wars.
The first film was, from a directing standpoint, I guess it was okay, but the story was absolutely retarded. Black hole.
I think that the beginning of the movie, like fighting, like the whole Jabba the Hutt story it's one of my favorite things in movie history. Like that whole beginning of it, and then the end when they got a lightsaber battle going, a space battle going, and a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're kind of breaking up there. Brake, are you there, Brake?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I hit the mute button by accident.
What were you?
Dungeon Buster was. I was about Howard to say it's okay Duck. To like Howard the Duck because of Leah Thompson, but then to Return of the Jedi.
Hey. That was the worst comic book movie ever.
Oh my God, Howard the Duck is so bad. Like it's just bad. Hey,
okay, that was a really good diss, Dungeon Buster. I like that one.
The comic book though,
Boba Fett. What is it about?
Anyway,
what is it about Boba Fett that people like?
Yeah,
so much?
I love that scene where he's like Boba Fett, we're Boba Fett, and he knocks him into the fucking Sarlacc pit. I love that.
Are you talking Jar Jar?
Boba Fett, you're supposed to be a badass. You died in such an unglorious manner.
Yeah, I know.
He was killed by Han Solo. God.
Chris brings up Jar Jar.
Yeah, by complete accident and faulty machinery. Yeah.
I'm gonna
and then
have to.
Later on, Han Solo leads a group of teddy bears to kick the Empire's ass. I mean, right. Oh God, Han Solo's he's awesome.
Hey, Chris in chat, I'm wondering when is
never want to tell people that because they like it's all hate from there on in.
It's not hate. I told
at
you.
At least you don't. At least you don't suspect that teddy bears are capable of hurting people when they are.
Return of the Jedi is better than 4, right? The original Star Wars is better than that. It's nowhere near Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back is, to me, the best Star Wars, right? Like, it's far and away better than anything.
It's a good movie. I like that one better than the original, too, actually. Yeah,
then again, we just probably shame Boba Fett for not upkeeping his equipment.
1 and 2 sucked. Right, I think we can all agree that 1 and 2
I don't know how this shit works. I mean, I just yanked it off my dad's corpse.
Yeah.
I don't agree. I think 1 definitely is the weakest of all of them. But like I've said many a time, if you skip over the entire part of Mos Eisley, it's not bad. The movie is not that – it's not that bad. Just Mos Eisley like take a complete left turn. Out of fucking nowhere, all of a sudden, you know, everybody instead of the lives being at threat and the whole home world is under a rule by somebody else. People are starving. No, let's go worry about some kid racing in a pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, the
second one wasn't bad except for the whole really nobody – George Lucas should never be involved in writing a love story.
Yeah, I was just about ready to bring up George Lucas. I'm happy he sold out to Disney because he's Chris has got to run. Hey, Chris. You son of a bitch, Chris. Chris,
he left because he's like, oh, really? Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
I hear my wife calling. Gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm out. Chris hasn't put my
Jedi, really? That's what they like?
Chris,
wow.
I wonder if Chris is ever going to put my episode with him when we were chatting up anytime soon. He's probably like, I got 50 million more better guests than Frank Branches. I don't need to put his episode up. Whatever.
Dungeon Buster makes a good point about Boba Fett in the comic. Like, he was killed by accident, but then he gets out in the comic by blowing a hole through the Sarlacc from the inside. And if you listen to the movie, it takes about 1,000 years to digest somebody. So it'd make absolute sense that somebody like Boba Fett with a jetpack could get out of there.
Yeah, but then that kind of ruins the canon, right? They lead you to believe in...
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think we might actually see that coming up.
You think Boba Fett's coming back?
Because Boba Fett's such a popular character, I guarantee you we're going to see a Boba Fett movie.
Here's another thing, guys. Why is Boba Fett so infinitely interesting to people? He had, like, little...
Because
to
know, he looks cool.
Just because he looks cool. Oh,
yeah, that's the reason Boba Fett was liked is because he fucking looks cool.
Oh boy, he was to me.
I've never really been a big Boba Fett fan compared to like Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Yoda and C-3PO. Like I've always been about the heroes and Vader.
To me, he's one of the most uninteresting characters in the Star Wars universe. Like I can't think of a more uninteresting character in Star Wars, except maybe Jar Jar. But I bet you Jar Jar has a good backstory. Like if you
watched it, you only watched like the first season of Clone Wars, which isn't the best season. It takes them, I think, the second, third season before they really hit their pace.
Yeah, it was pretty.
But as you go along, like they make Jar Jar Binks an interesting character.
Yeah, see, maybe I
How good the show was. Like, they actually made him an interesting character.
How could you make Jar Jar interesting, though? Like, what is interesting? Like I said, maybe his backstory is interesting. He's an alien, you know? I mean, he's got that.
They give him a love story at some point.
By the way, since we're on this sci-fi talk right now and we got a few minutes, what do you guys think of Prometheus getting a sequel?
I never saw
the original.
So.
You didn't? I mean, it's not.
No, because everybody hated on it, so I thought there was no point in seeing it.
I don't know if I'll ever watch it. No.
It's not great. It's definitely not a great movie, but visually it's good. Like, there's nothing wrong with the visuals. Ridley Scott knows how to make a visually stunning movie. Like, there's no question.
That's true.
Like, he just has a way with that. I think
isn't Crimson Peaks out this weekend?
Oh, man. Crimson Peaks. Oh! You know what we could talk about? Wivix and I today saw a movie called Green Inferno. It's the new – and I hate to surprise –
Oh, is that about the cannibals?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and okay. I know what you're talking about.
It's – I can't explain it, man. It's – if you like horror, it's a good horror movie but in a different way. There's no jump scares or anything like that. Like Wivix didn't like it because she's more into the jump scare type stuff, but to me the movie was just scary. Like it's just a scary movie. Like I can't imagine being captured by a bunch of natives, cannibals. You know, it's just you know what I mean. Like it's just bad. But yeah, it's,
I can say I'm afraid of being eaten.
Yeah,
that scares me.
Yeah, it would be totally. And the way this happens, like, oof, I'm not going to spoil anything. I mean, you guys got to see the movie. It's pretty. It's not as shocking as some other shit I've seen. Like, I've seen The Shock of Shocks, like movies like Cannibal Holocaust and.
I was about to say Cannibal Holocaust. Yeah. I know you've seen that one.
Oh, man. It's awful. it's awful.
Is there anything you haven't seen?
No, I've pretty much seen it all, man. Like, if it's a horror movie, I bet you I've seen it. Like, I'm. I'm a big horror guy. Like I like horror movies. What can I say? All kinds. Like I don't discriminate. Like I just like them.
You and Mrs. Brickman would get along.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely would. Send her my way, man. You know what I'm saying?
wait a minute. that's like a wrong turn. What the hell?
Well, you said it, man, not me. No,
I
but
get along, not like send her over here, tell her to wear no panties.
Well, we could.
Like, what the hell?
I didn't add the no panties thing, right? But if you want to add that, man, I'm down for that too. You know, shit. I was talking about getting along, if you know what I mean, break. You know, that's what I'm saying. But no, I like the movie. I can't stand Eli Roth, and I hate supporting Eli Roth for a lot of reasons, but the movie itself was fine. It's a good, good horror movie. If you're a horror fan, I recommend it. I give it a 6.5 out of 10. Like I like it. Dungeon Buster says, fun fact, some Japanese soldiers trapped on islands and other areas when they were cut off by the allies resorted to cannibalism. Why does that not surprise me? I mean, there have been stories of cannibalism quite a bit. Like you had Alfred Packer back in the day. You had the K7 or I don't know, what was it, 47, whatever. The live guys resorted to cannibalism. Like there's plenty of instances of
there's also stories of Japanese soldiers on those islands. Some of those islands being found like 20, 30, 40 years later.
Yeah.
Because they were on those islands, they were doing their job. They were waiting. And, you know, there were a lot of unexplored islands.
It's kind of scary, huh? To run into one of those guys, that would be, oof, wow. Yeah. The war's over. Can you imagine that? You run into one of those guys, you tell them the war's over. And
dude, the war's totally over.
Right. And they don't believe it. They're still stuck in, like, 1942 or something. Like, ugh, wow.
Well, look at this, man. It's called a smartphone.
I know. It's like, scares them. They have a heart attack and you survive. No, that I saw that, so that was cool. I'm looking forward to Crimson Peak. I really am. Guillermo del Toro, to me, like, I don't know if you guys...
So that isn't this week. That's next week, isn't it?
Probably. But he has come out with some of the most visually interesting movies I've ever seen. Have you guys seen Pan?
I've seen this weekend.
Have you guys...
He comes out with visually interesting movies, but they're not always good.
There's some good ones.
Sometimes they are. I mean, he has a lot of good movies, but then he has some that are like,
I like Pacific Rim quite a bit. I love that movie. I like...
Here's the kind of a stinko. The Konami building apparently went on fire yesterday.
Konami's almost on its way out, man.
I think that was karma.
Yeah. I think they're not doing console games anymore.
You're not at all concerned about the employees?
I am.
I was kidding, man. It was a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, they said it was on fire, but it's a picture of the building and has smoke coming out of the top, which can't be good.
That smells fishy.
It could be
fishy.
A fire inside the building, or it could just be really bad ventilation system.
That smells fishy to me, man. That might be like arson, like that, because Konami's going through.
Some people were thinking that somebody was committing insurance fraud by setting a fire to the building.
Mm, that's a possibility. I mean, it really is.
You've got a game division that we're going to get rid of soon, so let's, you know, try to collect insurance money.
Right. I mean, it makes kind of sense.
We all know how expensive Metal Gear Solid 5 cost us. $80 million in development cost alone.
I'm talking about Guillermo del
Toro. Yeah.
No, Konami's on its way out. There's no question.
I like what he's done with Strain.
Yeah, like the Strain. Strain's
pretty. He only produces it now, but you know.
Yeah, but the idea came from Guillermo del Toro. Crimson Peak looks interesting. I like Kronos. I love Pan's Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth's a great movie. That if you guys haven't,
I've never seen that one.
Oh, you got to see that, man. It's great. Devil's Backbone is another great movie. That movie. You want to talk about a kind of a creepy, you know. Kind of lingering, dreadful movie.
There's a street in this city named Devil's Backbone.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, oh, wow, was the building really on fire? I saw that on Twitter.
No. Like I said, it was smoke. It might be an internal fire.
Hmm. Yeah, I read a story that
there's not much else that can cause smoke to rise like that.
I don't know if this is true or not. I saw a story. They're not doing any console games anymore. Huh. Like
a lot of weeds.
Yeah, a lot of weeds.
No, they apparently said that they're still interested in doing AAA game development, but considering their output, I don't expect much out of them of worthwhile interest.
Yeah, Konami's on their way out, man. Like, it's sad.
I mean, they're probably just going to get a new Metal Gear development team, and they'll just do Metal Gear and PES until they decide to completely close shop.
I thought they're doing mobile, too.
They are doing mobile, but you know what they should do?
If you're doing mobile, like, you can survive on mobile alone.
Yeah, depending on the game.
Judge Buster, like, I just retweeted it. Go check my timeline.
I wish Konami would just sell like Silent Hill and, you know, Metal Gear and some other properties and just be done with it. You know, just give it to somebody that is going to do your properties justice. You know, just do it.
Can I have Castlevania?
Yeah,
I got where was my wallet? I got $11.
I have 12, so I'll pay 12.
Fuck.
Yep.
Fuck.
Sorry, break.
What's the penny jar at?
You're out of luck, dude. Sorry. I win.
Fuck. Frank.
Castlevania's mine.
Frank.
Yeah, sorry, dude. I have slightly more money than you. Although I did get cheated in my pay, so, you know, that's all the money I have for the week. So, you know.
Just give me Goemon.
But anyways, I don't know, man. Like, it's just sad. Konami's a sad. We, you know what? We should have did a whole thing on Konami today. Maybe put that down for next week, Eric. We'll talk about Konami and their
the rise and fall of Konami.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Well, see,
week.
I don't think they're exactly falling though, because if they're going to go with mobile
division.
Well, the mobile market's too saturated.
Fuck the mobile market.
Like, you know,
I know, but it's.
I mean, what are they going to do?
A lot of companies have been thriving on the mobile market. And a company like Konami, which has a name, they might be able to thrive on the mobile market.
Yeah, but I don't care about them. That's the problem.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster.
Dungeon Buster says Castlevania
Pachinko.
Pachinko.
Yeah, they do. They have
Silent Hill Pachinko.
Yeah, they should do a Silent Hill Pachinko. Man. Maybe they'd come back.
Can I get Castlevania Plinko?
Yeah, Plinko. That would be cool, man. Sweet. You see that on Price is Right.
Right. What would you do for the design for the Plinko?
You just have like...
What do you make straws from?
You make Drew Carey dress up as Simon Belmont, and like he's got like these bat pachinko things. You know what I mean? Like he puts them down. Like all the money is like it's not pink. It's like red and black or something. That'd be sweet. That'd be cool. Just change the whole direction of Price is Right to like include all dark things, like it's a Halloween theme all the time. Castlevania, that'd be awesome, man. Castlevania Pachinko. Didn't we have a story on Castlevania Pachinko? Like they had.
No, we just talked about it. there was two other pachinko machines that used to exist, which actually have interesting soundtracks, but. They're pachinko machines.
Castlevania Pachinko. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, there's Castlevania. There's Akuma Joe Pachi Slot, and there's a Akuma Joe Pachi Slot 2, and I don't know what this new one's called.
I definitely know why we brought this up, because it had like more Gamergate
shit. Erotic violence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, erotic violence. That's what the whole thing was. Like, whatever, man.
No, you mean rape?
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing erotic violence brings into me, in my mind.
I know, erotic violence. Although there are some fetishes out there, like
I think they were just trying to say sexy and violence, but they kind of fucked up.
Erotic, maybe
there are people that like it rough.
Erotic and violent is maybe what they meant, like a separation there, but. I'm looking at the screenshots, and all I see is screenshots.
So violent, it's sexy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just looking at screenshots of
Which I don't know why anybody would want to glamorize violence in the first place, but whatever.
Well, video games have been doing it for years, man. Come on, it's nothing new.
And television and movies and comic books and music and real life.
Right, real life. Let's see.
Yeah, wow. I mean, look how they glamorized violence with hunting. I killed a giant pig, which probably is the only one of its kind, so yay.
Dungeon Buster says,
I killed it with a rifle from 5 miles away. Yeah, I'm a badass.
I know.
I learned a lion out of the reservation so I could kill it legally.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, oh, wow, pachinko machine with the soundtrack. I must hear this. That's hilarious. I do remember. Eric, which do you remember? We talked
it's more
about
like
that.
Music that plays randomly when you play the game, but apparently listening to it on its own, it's actually not that bad.
Yeah, he says it's just weird imagining something like Castlevania's theme playing on something like a slot.
Yeah, just type in YouTube, Akuma Joe Pachi slot.
They have Dungeon Buster. Last time I went to Vegas, they had like Walking Dead slot machines and shit like that. So they had Star Wars at one point where you'd get all the music and, you know, the soundtrack and stuff. They even had like Jaws and other shit. Like there's always...
I don't want to go back to Vegas. Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it out to New York and Vegas next year, but it all depends on this whole job thing. Like if I can fucking find something permanent, not temporary like I am now. Ugh. Yuck. All right, anyways, guys, we got to go, man. Let's do our plugs. Eric, what's your plugs this week, man?
I'll plug BostonBastardBrigade.com. My review of Grandia 2 Anniversary Edition is up on there. And I'm going to plug TotallyGN.com. And going to also plug VogNetwork.com. And I hope they update with my reviews soon because... It's been like a week now. It's 2 weeks.
Wait.
I understand. Last week was con shit, but so they were getting back from con shit. But
no, wait a second here.
Wait a second.
My favorite movie is Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Frank's favorite movie is The Crow.
Yes.
We never talked about Eric's favorite movie.
Well,
I just told you I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I can't think of any one movie in particular I could even answer that question with.
There's a lot, but I really like The Crow, man. Like I can honestly say it's my favorite movie. At the very least, it's the movie I've seen the most. You know, it's got a great soundtrack. Like the Crow soundtrack is one of the greatest of all time. I don't think I'll get any argument there. Both.
Yeah.
The,
speaking of movies, I've seen the most. Like it really pissed me off. The edit George Lucas slipped in at the on the DVD release of Return of the Jedi.
Well,
at the very fucking end, after they changed the music in the celebration with the Ewoks, they slipped in at the end there. Fucking, he replaced the actor that played Vader with Hayden Christensen.
Oh boy!
God, that made me mad.
That's horrible. That sucks, man. That's terrible. I'm looking at the Pocky slot thing here. The Akumaju. All right, Eric, your other plugs, any other plugs that you got?
My YouTube channel, Funny T-Man, and you can find me on Twitter, at EricRPG. Probably not going to be doing videos.
Probably not going to be doing videos. Why? You kind of broke up, dude. I think he broke up. Break. Plug.
I don't want to talk because...
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything because everybody that talks suddenly goes quiet.
I know, it's kind of weird.
Are you guys being killed by random or ninjas in your homes?
Yeah. What, Eric?
I feel like we're going to die soon, so we should just get out of here.
Yeah. All right, Break, your plugs quickly.
At Break_man, at RP Grinders, which I haven't been on those as much because I'm on a fucking backup phone right now and... I've got like the old version of Twitter and shit like that. Like it's bad. I'm just waiting for my new phone to come in. Once I get that, that'll be my sweeto. I hopefully will get it next week. Follow at Moria Mug and at Stealth and how many other underscores he's up to or down to, whatever it's at.
Whatever. His millions.
Because those guys might come back someday.
Maybe. You keep holding out hope, Break. I don't hold out hope for anything, man. I just do what I do, man. I just worry about myself.
Maybe one. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll stop plugging them. I don't know. I always hold out hope.
You just – I know. You're their only hope, Breakman. You're their only hope. I just want to plug my Twitter account. I hardly ever plug it. At Frank Branches. Come follow me. If you want to see basically nothing, then just follow that account. That's what that account basically amounts to. At RP Grinders, as Breakman said, there's – you know. We're doing stuff on our on Grinders, you know. We're keeping you updated.
Oh, here's another speedo I completely forgot.
Can it wait till next week, Eric, or no?
Yeah, because maybe you'll have seen it by then.
All right. Go see – I'm not going to give a hearty recommend to Green Inferno, but go see it. I mean, it's a horror movie. If you're a horror buff like I am, make sure you support that movie. It's important that these big release type movies get some support so we can see.
Don't you mean smaller release?
Well, it's kind of a big release in the horror world, man. Like most of the times, horror movies are put out to DVD and that's it. You know, so this is getting a theatrical release, which is in itself an accomplishment. So I recommend seeing it.
When I think of big, I think of it's so popular, you won't even have to worry about it not getting sold tickets.
Well, that's not going to happen with this movie. But, you know, it's a decent movie. It's scary. It is a scary movie. That's about it for this week. I hope everybody in chat has a good time. See you later, Dungeon Buster and Gripper. Really appreciate it. Chris from Let's Chat was in there earlier. Go check out that show. Maybe one day he'll post my appearance on his show. Probably not.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll come back on this show too. But then he'll realize we talked about Return of the Jedi and he's not coming back.
Exactly. Son of a bitch. But yeah, just follow us on Twitter. Go to wickedradionetwork.com. Check out all the new fun shows on the network. And that's about it. Everybody, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week and this week and every other week for that matter. Stay safe. We'll be back next week. See you guys till then. We are out.